gather here hand in hand. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, good morning. We're glad to have you here for another day of His Stories broadcast. I've got Gil, my friend here, and
hello.
And we have another gentleman here this morning in with us too. Very excited as always, but very excited to have a gentleman named Jake. But Gil, I'll let you introduce him. But before we do that, let me ask you, how was your week, Gil?
It was good. It was good. I bought a food truck.
I saw that.
Yeah. I bought a food truck. Just because. Just because. Yeah, more details on that later. Okay. But yeah, we're really excited about how that's going to all transpire.
Yeah, I saw soup or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be soup and grilled cheeses and sandwiches and all that good stuff. And but more importantly, it's like we're going to be partnering with some agencies to provide jobs and even work hopefully with The Crossing.
To
do some stuff with them, and it's just going to be great. It's going to be a great partnership.
Nice.
I think it's going to be really, really good for everyone involved.
Yeah. Nice. Good to hear. Okay. Yeah. We'll explore that more.
That'd yeah, really absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So big week. That's great.
Big week.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
All right. Well, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm looking forward to hearing what God's doing. And as what we shared in the, what was shared by Marquito in the introduction is that this is His Stories broadcast, and this is really God's story, and it's working in our lives. And so let's go to the Lord, if we would. Father in heaven, I just give you praise. I give you praise for who you are. Lord God, I thank you that you are working in us and that you are moving mightily. And Lord, I thank you for just the young man and friend who is sitting right next to me right now, and that how you continue to work in his life. May we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, how was your week, Kevin?
Thanks.
You asked me, but I didn't ask
you. it was a lot of busy work, but it was good. We're getting the garden to put in, and our soil isn't very good, and so I had to truck in a lot of black dirt. But, mundane things. But, times in which when you do that kind of stuff, you also get a chance also with the mundane work, like mowing the lawn or stuff like that. I talk to God, and that's a fun thing, to be able to do.
Good.
As well.
Good. So. Well, you're going to have some more fun at my house. You can talk to God all you want.
just gave you the pitch, and you hit that right out.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, that's good. Well, we have a great guest with us today. His name is Jake Teschke, and great guy, does quite a bit of stuff in the community here, but you'll get to hear all that. But more importantly, you get to hear his story. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself, Jake, and welcome to His Stories Broadcast.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I think this is a great ministry, so I'd just like to thank you guys for doing this and for putting your heart out there to tell God's story and the way that he's moving in the lives of the people in our community and in our community. My name's Jake.
I'm a State Farm guy.
We just put a plug in. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Actually, I'm a tire salesman now. I did like 7-8 years. I worked in the field of politics and throughout the state. Mm-hmm. Made a transfer over to the private sector and to commercial tire sales, which is complete polar opposites of what I was doing, but I enjoy it and have a wife and a 7-month-old son, and they are two of the hugest blessings in my life.
Wonderful.
I love them to death. And,
wonderful.
So I'm just excited to be here with you guys.
Okay, and you grew up in this area, South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah, I grew up here, graduated from St. Joe High School. My mom works at Notre Dame, so I was telling Gil, we actually lived in Niles when I was growing up, but I was considered South Bend my home. I went to school here, and we went to church here, and all those sorts of things.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful. So if we could start out, I probably won't start out when you're first born.
Right. Okay. No, I don't think we have time for that.
No, we don't. We've got 20 minutes. 20
it was a long
minutes.
Labor. Yeah.
It was a long time.
So God's been writing a story in you.
Yeah.
And if you could tell me some of the things that he's been doing in your life. And when we had an opportunity to be able to sit down a little bit and talk about your life, some of the things that happened early on. And a lot of times from pain comes some beautiful things. And,
right.
and so if you could share some of that pain and then some of the joy then as well.
Absolutely.
That's God give you. And we're going to interrupt you in between.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we're not starting from the the birthing suite, but I think it's important to point out that God started there in writing his story. Mm. And including me, and such a pleasure to be able to be a part of that story. And so I grew up Catholic. And again, I was talking to Gail, nothing, don't want to do any kind of Catholic bashing. I have lots of Catholic friends and Catholic friends that love Jesus. But my experience in the church was a little bit different. I wasn't encouraged to get into the Word or really seek out that relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And there was always this intermediary, and that was the priest, you know, whether it's confession whether it's, again, reading the Word, or, you know, we expected him to do all that stuff and just tell us what we needed to know, you know. And that's kind of my experience growing up in that. And so one of the most painful things, I think, and it's something that I've just kind of recently begun to understand how much it actually affected me. The priest at our church was close with our family. He would come over on Sundays and say Mass in our living rooms and in our living room, and just really close with our family.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom was the assistant youth minister. We were very involved in the church, not just Christmas and Easter Catholics. We were there every Sunday. We went on mission trips to Honduras and Mexico and those sorts of things. Mm. And I forget exactly, but I think it was in eighth or ninth grade when this priest friend of ours became wrapped up in the Catholic, the sex abuse scandal that plagued the Catholic Church at that time and still does in some ways. And so we just refused to believe it. I mean, this was our friend. This was our priest. And so we stuck by his side there for months until my mom and I finally met with one of his accusers who had come up here from our priest's previous post in Arizona, which is where all this took place. And we sat across the table from him. And it was at that point that I think we all realized that this was true, that these things had been done. And growing up in the church, when you have that intermediary sort of person, that figure, you almost look to them as, I don't want to say God, but an extension of God.
It's right.
You know, we're going to the priest to get forgiveness for our sins. We're going to the priest to understand what God has for us.
Yeah.
And so to be betrayed by that person was a very, very
huge.
Deep wound.
Yeah.
Deeper than I thought at the time. I mean, sure, it was devastating at the time, but I could have never have expected the long-term effects that might have.
Right.
And so from there, I just started to wander. And as a family, we started to wander. We went to church less often, and then we finally stopped going. And, you know, I was in my high school years, and I started experimenting with, you know, marijuana and drinking. And I was telling Gil this earlier, too. I was always that, like, chunky kid in my elementary school years. And so I was made fun of a lot, actually. I had glasses, and I was chunky, and wasn't that great at sports. Mm-hmm. And then going to high school, I had really come into myself. I had thinned out and started getting attention from girls.
Sure.
And so then I placed a lot of value on physical relationships.
Yeah.
And that was where I got my sense of self-worth.
Right.
And that's where, you know, that self-esteem that was lacking, that's where I turned to look to fill that void.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I began to realize, you know, as I went through college and everything, could never fill that void.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's good. And so where did things go? How did you then, people say found God. Like, he was never lost.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
But where did you meet the Lord then?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, that's actually I think in a lot of cases, it's one of those things, one of those stories that, I mean, it was an evolving thing, mm-hmm. you know. And like I said, I knew that something was missing. I knew that there was a hole that needed to be filled. In 2008, I had just been coming off an election with where I worked on the governor's campaign. It was 3 days after that that I got a phone call from my doctor here in South Bend, and I was still south in Indiana. And I'd injured myself a month before, and he called and said that they had found a tumor, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was still in this period where I really wasn't worshiping anything other than pursuing my career and those sorts of things. And it was a scary, scary thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I was a 20-year-old kid at the time.
Wow.
To have, this diagnosis of cancer. And then he said, you know, we want you to be here in South Bend tomorrow morning for emergency surgery.
Sure.
And so, I called my parents right away, and they rushed down to pick me up. And on my way home, I thought of my best friend from high school. His mother was always this woman that we thought she was crazy. You know, she was
There's always one.
Was she the church lady?
I remember a time in high school where I went over to their house her name's Cindy, and she came downstairs and she said, "Jake, God woke me up at 2 a.m. last night to pray for you."
Wow!
Unbeknownst to her,
that's huge.
Girlfriend of the time that I was in high school with, and I had the day before been experiencing some really tough things, and so there were just these things all along. But you know, my friend was always like, "Don't listen to her; she's crazy." You know, all this kind of stuff. But there was nobody I could think of to call on my way back to South Bend that night. You know, almost midnight at this point.
Right.
And she said, "Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow morning to pray for you."
Wow.
Her and her daughter came and prayed with myself and my mom and my dad before they took me back to the OR.
Right.
And it was a prayer like I'd never heard before.
Mm.
You know, growing up Catholic, it was always Our Fathers and Hail Marys, but she spoke to God like she was talking to someone that she knew intimately.
Mm. Sure.
And she prayed for 20 minutes and just, it was the most amazing prayer. And she looked at my parents and she said, "Everything's going to be okay."
Mm.
And then she looked at me and she said, "God's got big plans for you."
Wow.
So I had never, I guess back up a little bit here, my senior year of high school, I had my first anxiety attack. So I'd been battling anxiety and depression and those sorts of things,
right.
Which I think is an important point in the story.
Right.
I mean, crippling fear, crippling anxiety, where I would just like lay on the couch and not be able to move type stuff.
Wow.
And again, I think, you know, looking back now, I see that that's from that hole that needed to be filled.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what was the cause of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's from, it was fear of, you know, I would always be afraid of, it would come on at times when there were uncertainty in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem was that I didn't know God and I didn't have anything to trust in.
Yeah.
And so when there was uncertainty and I was facing uncertainty,
you got anxious.
I got anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and anxiety is something that everybody experiences at one point or another in their life. And anxiety and fear can be a good thing at times.
It can be a motivator.
There are things that you should be afraid of.
Yeah.
However, you know, being afraid because you're going off to college and you're not sure what's going to happen next and just the adrenaline pumping through your body is enough to make you just lay down in the fetal position on the couch and not want to move.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's not normal.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. And so, you know, you can listen to the doctors, which I did, and you take medication, which numbs you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a Band-Aid. That's a temporary fix. And it's not even really a fix because
it's a delay.
It's a delay.
Yeah.
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 Because it always comes back, and it did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so with that in mind, I went into the OR that morning with a peace like I had never felt before.
After she prayed
with us. My parents were a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, they were both bawling, you know, crying.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but I was good.
I'm the youngest. You know, I am the baby. And you know, their 20-year-old son now has this cancer diagnosis. And so everything, the surgery went well. The next couple of weeks, healing went well, you know, from the surgery, a very minor incision and everything. So went back to what I was doing and just kind of went on my way. And it was about a month later, and I got a call back from that same doctor, and he said, "We sent the tumor to the South Bend Medical Foundation, and they couldn't type or stage it." And so we then sent it to the to Johns Hopkins University.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
And they couldn't type or stage it. And so my doctor says to me, he says, I don't know how to scientifically explain this, but where there was once a growing, metastasizing, cancerous tumor, there's now just a clump of dead cells.
Wow.
What?
That's amazing. Yeah. That's cool.
And
if I want to hit you, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's right. You would think that that would be enough to bring someone to their knees and say, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
That wasn't the point at which I that happened for me. You know, I kept going for like four more years just pursuing my career and pursuing those goals. And I think part of it was when Cindy looked up and said to me, God has big plans for you.
Right.
I took that to mean, okay, well, I better get to work.
Yeah, right.
You better get to work.
I better get to work.
I better get to work. Exactly. Yeah. And I know where he wants me to go because it's where I've been and where I'm going. And so I worked long hours and put in the effort. And
especially in the political world.
In the political world,
I mean, you can do that anywhere.
You can do that anywhere, yeah.
But boy, they'll call you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's exactly. Results, yeah. There's never really a break in that world. Yeah. I mean, you're always on call.
Yeah.
You know, for all you know, if there's a scandal at 3 o'clock in the morning with your candidate, you've got to be ready to respond.
What did he say
to it.
Now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so I did that, you know, for four more years, and actually continued on the political world after that. But at that time, you know, I'd been named on the 25 under 25, top 25 under 25 list in Indiana politics, you know, and had some prestigious awards and those sorts of things. And those were the things that I was gunning after.
Yeah.
And yet I still had this empty feeling, you know, I still needed to take medication to get through the day.
Mm.
And met a girl, and we were dating, and we ended up breaking up right before the 2012 election. But a couple of years prior, my cousin and his wife had gone through a divorce, and he knew I was having kind of a rough time too. And he said, why don't you come to church with me? I'm going to this church. And he was going to Granger Community Church at that time. And so I did. And I would go back, you know, occasionally. You know, every once in a while I would go back and see, you know, what was going on there. And so at this particular time when my girlfriend and I were broken up, I had been reading books about faith and different faiths and trying to search for something to fill that hole that I so obviously felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I was going to go to Granger Community Church. And that is the point at which God brought me to my knees.
Wow.
And I came face to face with Jesus. Wow. And it was, you know, I had been reading the scriptures. You know, I had heard Bible stories and stuff before. Obviously, I grew up Catholic. I knew the story. But I'd never met Jesus.
The experience.
Yeah. And I felt the Holy Spirit move in me. I mean, this is one of those things that I would think those crazy people say, right? You feel the Holy
Spirit.
Become one of those crazy people.
I've become one of them.
But it's something that I could feel from my gut just radiating out through every part of my body.
Yeah.
And it was, again, that peace.
Mm-hmm.
It was that just that joyful, filling feeling. Again, that hole was filled in a lot of ways. I mean, I still struggle with some of those things. And the enemy is going to bring those things back. And he's going to say, you're not good enough. And you know, those sorts of things. But, you know, so you always you're always battling that. But so I called my girlfriend. We were both raised Catholic, or my ex-girlfriend at this point. We were both raised Catholic, so this is an awkward phone call, right? I call my girlfriend and I say, ex-girlfriend. I say, so I know we're broken up and we're not talking and all those
things. It
would
be awkward.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know that we're both Catholic, but I'm going to be baptized next weekend, and I'd love it if you would show up for that. And she did. And we went back every weekend after that. Mm-hmm. And we've been together ever since. We're now married and have a son.
Oh, wow.
And,
So your wife is your ex-girlfriend?
My wife is my ex-girlfriend.
Exactly. You married your ex-girlfriend?
I married my ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was and God just started moving through our lives and working in us and on us. And it didn't all happen at once. I mean, you know, there were some things that he changed in me right away. Boom, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more of this, and this, you know.
Right.
And it was that thing where I didn't even have a desire to do those things.
Right.
You know, and then there's other things that he's got to work on yet, you know, a while for.
Yeah.
And
it's renewing of the mind.
But it was really cool to see. So it was like the week after that I went to dinner at my parents' house, and my mom says, and I told my mom that I had been baptized, and she said, well, what'd you do that for? You know, you were baptized as a baby.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be baptized. And it was so cool to see it come full circle that they started going to Harvest Bible Chapel after that. And it was about a year, maybe a year and a half later, I was able to go up to Buchanan to Crystal Lake and see both my mother and my father be baptized.
Praise God.
And just see the way that – and my dad is the strong, silent type a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And to see him come to the Lord in tears – mm-hmm. And we went to a conference. We went to the Act Like Men conference together in Indianapolis, and we were listening to several prominent preachers. James McDonald, and there was a couple others there. And I remember, and I'll never forget this. This is one of those moments I'll take to my grave. And where my dad, we were in this room full of tens of thousands of men, and my dad reaches over and hugs me, crying, and says, "I'm sorry, I wasn't a better father."
That's precious.
And I said, this is the way that God did it for a reason, you know? And I'm just glad that you're where you're at now.
Yeah. Let me ask you, can you share a little bit about your brother? Is that okay?
Yeah. I think that's okay.
Okay.
I've shared it before. Yeah. So my brother, we're one of two. I have an older brother, and we didn't get along when we were real young. Then we kind of started getting along, and so he was all straight edge in high school, And he was against smoking and drinking and doing drugs, and he was in a straight edge punk band and all these sorts of things. And then he did his first year at Notre Dame, mm-hmm. and he had to drop out after that year because he started drinking a lot. And we had thought, just sowing his oats kind of thing, nothing really to worry about here. Until we started finding some hidden bottles and things like that. And he had become this professed atheist and the kind of atheist that says, that doesn't keep their views to themselves. We'll just put it that way,
Pretty vocal about it.
Yeah, pretty vocal about it. And, but this is my brother and I love him. Mm-hmm. I love him to death, mm-hmm. And so we struggled for years. He'd been like in and out of a couple of rehab facilities. Mm-hmm. We had him into a Teen Challenge over in Elkhart.
Yeah.
He left there the first time. And it was, I remember, it was the day that my wife and I, we were flying back from our honeymoon, which was delayed because of an election. So, my wife, this shows you how much my wife loves me.
Wow, you got hard, man.
Shows you how much my wife loves me.
So
we landed in Miami, or coming back from our honeymoon, and I get a call from my mom, and she says, "Your brother wants to go back to Teen Challenge, and we're taking him tomorrow."
Wow.
And this was in November, again, later in November after the election. And so it was like a week and a half later at Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Day. We get a call, and I get a call from my mom, and she said, "Your brother just called."
Yeah.
And he said he gave his life to Christ.
Wow.
And the transformation that I've seen in my brother over the last couple of years just...
That's beautiful.
Is proof that God works in so many amazing ways.
Yeah.
And then he had to work on me because the resentment that I felt.
Exactly.
And the pain that I felt of having an older brother that, that had these issues. God started speaking to me and saying, "You have to forgive, mm-hmm. and you have to understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You have to understand that he was battling his own demons, that the enemy was working on him.
Yeah.
And just pray for him."
Yeah.
And so he finished out a year program at Teen Challenge and came home. And he's sober and
praise
he's
God.
Going to church every weekend. And,
nice.
Isn't
it amazing how God is doing the work on him? The obvious one,
right?
Right.
But it's almost like the prodigal son, and it's the other brother who's like, "Yeah, I'm not going in the house."
Yeah.
Like, well, why not? Well, I've been here all this time. I'm doing the right thing. How come I'm not?
Yeah.
But the work of restoration and forgiveness it doesn't just affect the one person.
No.
It affects everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so funny. You come to the Lord, it affects your parents.
Yeah.
Now, what are you doing this for? And then here they are now. Your dad's hugging you, reaching across. Their lives have changed. Your brother's life has changed. It's infectious.
Oh, yeah.
The power of the gospel and salvation. So it's amazing to hear just the string of changed lives.
Yeah.
What I mean? So it's awesome.
Yeah. And so looking back now, like I said, I can see that God was chasing me down from the moment that I was born and saying, "Come to me.
Come to me.
Come to me."
Yeah. I was thinking a couple thoughts. And that one is that, you have the... you mentioned the power of forgiveness, and you brought that up, Jake, as well, is the forgiveness. And that's something that, you know, right after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ brings up forgiveness.
Right.
And then, you know, the disciples say, well, how many times should we forgive? You know, 70? No, yeah. No, 70 times
yeah.
7.
Yeah,
and that is such a powerful, those are powerful verses. And this comes directly from our Savior, yeah. You know, Jesus Christ. And I can understand where you're at when it comes to the power of forgiveness. There's a gentleman who just recently, he's been a crack cocaine addict, and he came to me over the weekend, and he's in the hospital right now, and he said, "I surrender my life," and that's beautiful. When I heard that, I'm like, man, that's incredible. Only God could bring those words out of your mouth. But there's a part of me, because I've known him for 6-7 years, where I just go, yeah, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah, you're skeptical.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's how I was in the beginning.
Yeah. So when you talked about your brother, and then the other thought is, so we need to forgive. Yeah. We need to be able to go, okay, this is in God's hand. God gave me the grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gave me grace of all people.
Of all people.
Of all sinners.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so he will give my brother, who's been addicted to crack cocaine. Oh, not in your sense,
right,
but
right,
you know.
No,
yeah. Now I consider I need to consider that man who's in the hospital, who was addicted to crack cocaine, that he is now spiritually he's been set free by the Lord.
Yeah.
The other thing is that real quickly, and that is you had a priest who sent your family sort of in this wild tailspin by a sin that was committed. However, what beautiful things have happened in your life?
Yeah.
You know. Where God has taken that hurt and that pain, and He's brought into a beautiful thing. Where now you've created this generation that really loves the Lord, and
absolutely.
And I guess the other thing too is, you know, I know, and you mentioned this earlier, is that there's so many people in the Catholic Church that really do love the Lord.
Right.
They are just gung-ho about the Lord.
Absolutely.
But in your experience, there was God has just brought you into a probably a different realm, I would say, of experiencing him. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, with this new church on the horizon, things are great. So just a plug for the new church there.
What is that new church? Where are you part of? How can people get in contact? Do you have a website?
I'll say, southbendcitychurch.com.
Okay.
We're still kind of taking a pulse on this thing, but Jason Miller, he's a teaching pastor at Granger Community Church.
Okay.
He's leaving to start his own church.
Okay.
And it's going to be a ministry geared towards South Bend and geared towards reaching out to those that don't have a spiritual home or don't know the Lord. And it's going to be – I'm just so excited.
That's
I'm
good.
So excited for this new ministry. Yeah. So southbendcitychurch.com if you want to find
out
more.
It's awesome.
Well, Jake, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story. I know without a shadow of a doubt that people were touched. And minister to. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so everyone else, historiesbroadcast.com. We encourage you to give too. We would love for you to give.
That.
Yeah, we would love it. But let's close in prayer if we could. Father, we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for Jake and sharing his story.
Yes.
Intimate details of that story and what you did along the way, Lord. There are signposts and mileposts, Lord God, along the way that keep pointing forward, and that direction is toward you. Lord, I thank you that you work on us. You lead us to yourself, and Lord God, so that we can find you, because you're not far from us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, bless the listening audience this day, Lord God, and we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at historiesbroadcast.com. That's historiesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.